Most of you have met Larry before. Larry's too. We're just very fortunate to have him here this morning. Larry's been a good friend of Joel's for quite a number of years, I believe. And it's nice that they have a shared witness for the Lord. And at this time, Larry, if you'd like to come speak, thank you.
It's always a pleasure to come here and to share God's word with you. Someone filled me in this morning that Pastor Joel's actually pulling one over on me this time around. Many of you know when I turned 50 this past spring, I took Joel and a couple of their friends to Florida. My wife arranged it and treated them to a Florida trip to play some golf. And so I was reminded of how it is. When I go to Florida, I take Pastor Joel with me. When he goes to Florida, he has me cover for him. So I appreciate, you know, yes, thank you. Thank you very much for, you know, enlightening us to the real friendship that we have. So a pleasure to be here this morning. The message is entitled "What's Love Got to Do with This?" So we're gonna focus this morning on what love is, but we're going to do it in a much different way than I think you've ever heard it spoken about. And we know what the world says about love. Just to remind you, of course, some odd 30 years ago, maybe more, 40 years ago, we had the Love Boat. Remember that? The Love Boat soon will be made. Please stop, right? Yes. I YouTube that. Watch an episode and you'll scratch your head and be like, why did we ever watch it and why did we think it was good? I don't know. But we know that also the world has sung that the love is a many splendored thing, right? There was the dating show called The Love Connection. Anyone ever watch The Love Connection? I remember that show, right? MTV actually had a show called A Shot at Love. I don't know how much of a shot at love it was because the hostess was called Tila Tequila. So I'm not sure, you know, how much a shot at love it was. Then there's Dean Martin. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore, right? That's the popular line. The line after that, I think, is even funnier. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. That's the next line in the song, which I think is absolutely hilarious. So we know what the world has said about love. But just some thoughts, and I mean this. What does God say love is? Does anyone have any thoughts? I'll just leave it just 10, 20 seconds. Anyone? Love your neighbor. Good, I like that. That's what God says about love. What else? There's a lot of things, but that's like, boom, that's the greatest commandment, isn't it? What else? Any thoughts? Yeah, John 3:16. Yeah, we're going to mention that later. Because he loved, he gave us his son. Wonderful. Someone a couple weeks ago at a church, I preached at the Calmer Church of God, and I gave this message, and someone was listing off 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not boast. Love hopes the best. And just all of those beautiful things it says about love. And everything that we could share about what God says about love is really kind of all wrapped up in one really neat little packaged thought, and that is that love serves. Love serves. And we're gonna kind of see that and build around it and kind of look at it. But again, we're going to do it in a little bit different way. I'm going to read for you. It is John chapter 14, verse 15. And I'm going to read for you 16 and 17 as well. And we're going to look at some other verses also. But this passage simply says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We just take a moment and join me in a word of prayer as we ask God's blessing on our time to dig into this. Father in heaven, we come before you and we thank you first and foremost that you are our God. You are exalted, you are enthroned, and And we thank you that we are your children, a part of your royal family through our faith in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross at Calvary. Thank you for the forgiveness that we have through our faith in Christ, knowing that we are washed clean of all of our sin, past, present, future. And we are called to be Christ here on earth until you call us home, in which we will be able to worship you for eternity, experiencing your love in an unhindered way. So we thank you for all that you are and all that you've done for us. And may you just bless this time that we have. May your Spirit just soften our hearts and teach us all wherever we're at, leading us, guiding us for one sole purpose, and that is to bring fame to your name as we're called to be light here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. So this passage, obviously the real pop is right at the beginning. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I just want to share with you these passages, verses 15, 16, and 17. I call these kind of, it's an Old Testament-y verse. Why I say Old Testament-y, I think I'm making up a word, testament-y, but it's an Old Testament-y verse. The reason why I say this is because of verses 16 and 17, when Jesus says after that, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. And that helper, we know, is talking about the Holy Spirit. And the reason why this is, you know, kind of Old Testament-y is because when Jesus is sharing these words, the Holy Spirit was outside giving influence to people. But we know that once Christ died upon the cross, if you have faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside. And so we have a situation here where the hearers don't have the Spirit of God within them. It is outside of them. And again, you know, Christ says, I will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. As Christ was referring to that time when he would die upon the cross, and then the Spirit of God would come to dwell within those who have faith in Christ. So while this is an Old Testament-y passage, it is still a very strong New Testament premise, because we know that John wrote to believers who had the Holy Spirit within them, and he wrote them this. And he said, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. Let me say it again. Whoever says, I know God, I have faith in Christ, whoever says that, but does not keep his commandments, John says, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Now, this can be a very stressful passage, because when it says, whoever says I know him but does not keep his commandments is a liar. First and foremost, that does not mean that if you receive Christ and then a month later you sin, that means you do not know him. That is not what this passage is talking about. It's talking about the characteristic of your life. So if I profess to know God and I say I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, But I could care less whether I sin or not, and I just live how the world lives with no care about my actions, then John's word would reflect me, I'm a liar, because I don't care about my sin, I don't care about stumbling, I don't care if I struggle with this or that, I don't care if I gossip, I don't care if I hurt people, I don't care if I disregard the needs of my wife. Then John would say, sorry, man. You're a liar. So that's kind of what's going on with it. So I don't want you to mishear what John is saying here. But either way, it's this connection that if we love God, we will keep his commandments. Those two go hand in hand. They're together. They cannot be separated. That is just God's truth that he gives to us. So keeping God's commandments means you love God. And if you love God, you will keep his commandments, right? Now, this just makes sense. This should not be this big, huge epiphany for us, like, wow. Because this is just what we find to be true in normal life. For example, if my wife and I were to get into an argument, and as we're in an argument, I insult her, I'm telling you right now, though I could say that, oh, I love my wife, in that moment, I'm not loving my wife. And in that moment, she's not feeling loved by me. We can all agree to that, right? So that's the dynamic there. So it's not an epiphany that God would tell us, hey, if you love me, you will keep my word. It will be a priority for you. It'll be something that when you get up out of bed, it's something that is on your mind. That as I walk and relate with God, my desire is to obey him. So this is not some strange epiphany. Because we know in the Bible, you know, love is not some philosophical thing, some misty fog. Rather, it is some internal motivation that causes us to have outward behavior. It's a visible demonstration. And we know that love serves, and love is a visible demonstration. That's why whenever, you know, you see love in the Bible, it always has some kind of action attached to it, like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that, for this reason, that he gave his only son. So he loved us, therefore he gave us Christ to die on the cross for our number one need, and that was our separation between God, which was our sin. So we know that is action. We also know Romans 5:8. Again, it says, for God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So even though, when it says, even though we were sinners, Christ did something for us, even though, that's another way of saying, even though we were against God, God did something for us. And to really bring out that passage, what that means, if you and I work together, wherever you might work, and you knew that I was always gossiping about you, and as I was always saying bad things about you behind your back, and I was trying to make you look bad in front of our boss, and I was just a big pain in the butt to you, just because I don't like you, right? And then all of a sudden, you hear that I had a financial need. Maybe my house was about to foreclose. And you give me a check for 30 grand. Even though I make your life miserable. That's the heart of Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his love toward us. That even though we were still sinners against him, he did something for you that was amazing. That's kind of that thought and that idea there. So it's that idea that love demonstrates. Love is very outward. Love seeks the best of those whom that life touches. Now, if we're going to obey his commands, because God says if we love him, we'll keep his commandments, well, then we need to know what the commandments are, right? Does that make sense? That if we're going to keep his commandments, we need to know what they are. Now, I have here 1,050 New Testament commands. Now, I'll get with Joe to make sure. I'll hand these out, and your job for next week is to memorize all 1,050 by next week. They're laughing. I guess they think that's funny. You can Google this. Google 1,050 New Testament commands, and these are it. It's 12 pages, front and back. 12 pages, front and back. I'm just going to zip. I'm not going to go through every single one, but you get the idea, right? You get the idea, man. 1,050 commands, and I want to read the heading on the top of this. It says, if obeyed, they will bring rich rewards here and forever. If disobeyed, they will bring condemnation and eternal punishment. Now, I just share with you right off the bat. There's something that this organization, if this is their heading, there's something that they're missing. Okay. Now, did anyone feel slightly stressed out when we're showing you the 1,050 commands? Anyone? Yeah? Yeah, that's a normal reaction. You know? But 1,050 commands, but you know, the scripture says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Woo! Really? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and burden is light. Really, God? Wow. Not feeling it right now. But God's truth says that's true. So, what's the deal? Right? If we love God, then we'll keep his commandments. There's 1,050 of these suckers, and I'll just be honest with you. I'm not good enough to always keep the 1,050, or much less, no, have them all memorized. But yet, God gives these commands, so it feels like an expectation. And if you're taught wrong, then you'll see this as an expectation. However, if you're taught what God wants you to learn, it's a little bit different. And let's just kind of address that. What would happen if our focus shifted to just these rules and only those rules? I can tell you what happens, and the Bible is very clear about what happens when a heart just focuses on only the commandments. What happens is your focus of worship shifts from God to this. This becomes your focus. And so your eyes are off God and onto this. And even though this is God's word and his rules, God never said he wanted you to focus on the rules. He always said, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your focus on me. Keep your pursuit on me. Keep going with your attention on me. God tells you the commands, but he also tells you to keep your eyes on him, not the commands. You see, that's important. Keep your eyes on him and not the commands. Why is that? That's very odd. That's very strange. But there's a reason why. And part of it is in Romans chapter 13, verses 8, 9, and 10. And I'll just read this for you. And the point is very simple, but very pointed. And it's a beautiful truth. This is Paul, and he's writing to the Romans. And he was talking about taxes and things like that. And this is where we're going to jump into it. And Paul says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. And so Paul just simply says that there's only one debt that you will never, ever, ever be able to repay so long as you live, and that's the debt to love. Because the moment you love someone, you're still called to love this person. You're still called to love that person. It's just this continual dispensing that God desires you to do. And so that's what he says in verse 8. And then 9 says, he starts listing some of the commandments. He says, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. So these are four of the what? These are four of the 10 commandments. Right. Now, I'll just pause right there. The 10 commandments. Now, Paul used to be a Pharisee, right? The 10 commandments are what is at the top. That's the most important. And a Pharisee, if you're in the Jewish faith, would say, you need to know those, you need to memorize them, you need to know them backward and forward. That is the most important thing. That is what God gave Moses on Mount Sinai and brought them down. And they were the basis to give guidance to the Jewish faith. Super important, especially in the Jewish faith. Super important. Now, but notice what Paul says after he lists four of the Ten Commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not cover it. And he says, and whatever other commandment there may be. Man, he's blowing off the Ten Commandments intentionally. And he's blowing off any other commandment there might be intentionally. Why? Because what he's about to give us is so important that it just blows away all the other commandments. And he says, but if there is a commandment, it is summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. So the point is, you give me any commandment. You can even list 1,050 of them. And whatever you come up with, If your focus is simply on loving, then all these bases are covered. All of them. So that's where our focus should be. Not on the rules, but on that one rule, and that is to love. Simply to love. Now, just so we can look at what other scripture says about this, Galatians chapter 5, 13, 14 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another." Remember how we talk about love serves? "Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself." So again, it's that focus. Paul is saying, get your focus right. Get my focus right. May we as a church, a body of believers, get our focus right. And that is to focus on loving. Now, just take it to the next level. The greatest commandment. Greatest commandment. We know that the Sadducees, Pharisees were trying to nail Christ and try to get him to stumble. And they asked him what the greatest commandment was. You remember what he said. He said, "Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and strength." And he said, "The second like it is, love your neighbor as yourself." That's the greatest. And we remember that, but sometimes we forget what Christ said after that. And Christ said, "On this rests the law and the prophets." On this rests the law and the prophets? Yeah, the Bible. Right? That was the Old Testament for them. That was Genesis to Malachi. It was just, that's the point. That's the point of the Bible. And it's still true. The point of the Bible, love God, love people. Love God, love people. Why? Because that covers all of it. Everything. Love God, love people. So since the entire kit and caboodle rests on love, please allow me to share with you three prayer reminders. Because I can tell you what to do to love. You can tell me what to do to love. We can all share. But in the end, if it's not a part of our prayer life, it's kind of trying to hit a bullseye with a blindfold on. Prayer is where our power is. The first prayer reminder that I would like to share with you, and that is this. That to love is not a pick and choose sort of thing, right? We don't get to pick and choose who we love. Well, we know this because we know Christ said to love your enemies. So if it's a pick and choose thing, we ain't picking and choosing our enemies to love. That just makes sense. So it's not a pick and choose thing. Here's the thing. God's love knows no bounds. So when your heart is full of love, you will love all of those whom your life touches, those who make our life easy and those who make our life extremely difficult. We will love without bounds and without picking and choosing. That's stressful. I'm not good enough to do that. We're all not good enough to do that. So why am I mentioning that? Well, we'll get there. The second one, of course, is that love serves. So this love that we love with, it is a service mindset. And serving carries the idea of putting ourselves beneath someone else's needs. And that is where a good prayer request of asking God to humble our hearts. Because those whom we think we are above, we generally will not serve. And a proud heart puts their heart above everybody else. But when we pray that God would humble our hearts, then people and the needs and their needs start to rise and come to our attention. And God guides us and directs us to love them in that way. And then the third prayer reminder is our goal should be that this love not originate from us. I'm going to say it again. The goal, your goal, my goal, our goal has got to be that the love with which we love does not originate from us. There's a reason why. I can just ignore God and do the best I can to try to show love. And I might start off doing really well, might continue to do well. And then once you get to a certain point, you just get tired of doing it. You just do. The flesh can be very, very weak. We can start off with great plans. I'm sure all of you can think of goals and plans you've had. And you start going and it starts well and then all of a sudden it's just like it falls apart. It's part of being human. The love with which you love, make it a prayerful goal that it not originate from you. Let me just remind you, in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? That should be a phrase that perhaps you've heard before. And the fruit of the Spirit, again, just to remind you, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. You have the Spirit within you. It's called the fruit of the Spirit because it is fruit that does not originate from you or me, but it originates from the Spirit. And that is why we're given the Spirit, because one of the first fruit of the Spirit is love, which means it's something that comes from the Spirit within you and not from you. That's important because I'm not real good at loving my enemies, but God is great at loving enemies. So therefore, it is God loving your enemies through you. That's the key. That's huge. Now, the awesome thing about that is, think of the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But the cool thing is that the fruit of the Spirit is a package. It's not just individual stuff. We know that. Why? Because when Paul was writing to the Galatians, when he used the word fruit, he used the singular word. See, in English, fruit is both singular and plural, right? I have an apple, I have fruit. I have 100 apples, I have fruit, right? Both are fruit. But in the language that Paul was writing, he wrote the word fruit, not fruits. And so when he wrote the fruit, it's a package. It's everything. Why is it everything? Because when the love of God is flowing out of you from the Holy Spirit, you're experiencing that love. And when you're experiencing that love, you are also feeling loved by God. And you know what? When you're experiencing God's love, you know what easily flows from that? Joy. Peace. It's super easy to be patient when you feel loved. It's easy to be kind, it's easy to be good, it's easy to be faithful, it's easy to have self-control when you're feeling loved because you're totally fulfilled. It's a beautiful thing. So the goal is that we love with the love that comes from the Spirit of God that is in you based upon your faith. Now, if you're thinking, man, I just don't feel that very often, that's the prayer request. That's where you're talking to God and you ask God, may your Spirit just come alive in me, that I may know your Spirit that's in me, that I may know your love. And when you start praying in that direction, I guarantee you, if you do it with a genuine heart, God will answer that because you're praying something that's within the heartbeat of God. That's something He wants you to pray. It's something He wants you to go after. When we do that, God always answers that kind of prayer. Always answers that kind of prayer. It's a wonderful thing. And again, just to back this idea up that we want to love with the love that comes from the Holy Spirit, God wants to act and love and serve through you. He wants it to be Him, not you. And again, to remind you why, if you remember Galatians 2:20, I love this passage. It's a beautiful passage, and it just simply says, for you are crucified with Christ, and therefore you no longer live, but Jesus Christ now lives in you. I love that. It's saying the goal of coming to know Christ and having the Holy Spirit is that you no longer live. It's God living in and through you. That's God's purpose and goal for saving sinners. That He would live in and through you. And then Paul goes on to say, the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me. It's just about pursuing it. Because if these words today, if they're like, man, I don't even know where to start, you just start with prayer and you ask God, God, I need help. I want to experience you. I want to experience your love. May your spirit that is in me through my faith in Jesus Christ, may it just come alive so that I can experience it in a very real way. And then when God is loving in and through you, then it just gets traction and you fall in love with it. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Just want to encourage you before I close. My wife and I, more often than not, before I leave first for work. Before I leave, we'll pray together, and our prayer will always involve, just give us the strength through your spirit to love those around us with your love. And not only to do that, but also give us the wisdom, right? Which wisdom, again, is doing what you know to be the right thing. You know, give us the wisdom to be able to hear your voice and prompt us to do that when you lead us to do that. And that's a beautiful thing to pray every single day. Why? Because, again, love is your main goal that God desires for you to focus upon, but not your own, the one that comes through His power, through the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. My prayer for you this week is that you would go forth and be Christ to those around you and to love with His love. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you and thank you for the joy of knowing you, the joy of being a part of your family. Father, we know that your word tells us that when we trust in you, when we have given our life over to you and placed our faith in Christ who died on the cross for our sin, when we have given our life over to you and to that we are yours and you give us your spirit to give us the strength to be Christ to those around us. And Father, may our focus be what is your highest calling, and that is to love you and to love those around us with the love that comes from your spirit that you have put in us, embedded into the very fabric of our being for your kingdom's purposes, to bring attention to you and your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.